morning, I am excited to open up the Word of God. Today, we're going to talk about I choose. Do you know that we have a decision? We can choose right now. We're real quick to say, well, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Choose this day. Whom will you serve? But I want to talk about that all of us have had choices that have been taken away from us, right? We don't have the choice to go in to something like Longhorn. I know that's one of our family favorites. Go in there and get some medium rare prime rib with a nice fresh hot baked potato. I know I'm making you hungry right now. But who would have thought that we would miss going into a restaurant? Who would have thought that our kids actually miss going to school? I never thought that I would say that or think that, but they do. Why? Because things are changing, choices have been taken away from us, that we're not in the coffee shops with a friend. In fact, today, we're not here as a church family. But thank God that we can be together as a church family via live stream. But many choices have been taken away from us. I know some individuals have lost their job, and we want you to know that we're praying for you. You know, our stability doesn't come from a paycheck, but it comes from Him. And we're believing God for checks in the mails and gifts and surprises and promotion. Just because one door is closed doesn't mean that another door can't open. So we're standing and we're believing God with you. But with so many changes, I think that we can feel powerless. But I want to remind you, according to the Word of God, that we are powerful. We're not powerful because of what happens around us, out of our control, but we are powerful because of who is in us. And because the greater one is in us, we have choices to make. And in fact, just the framework, I want to look at Deuteronomy. If you have your Bible, I hope that you'll be able to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're familiar with this passage. Our choices in this season are probably the most important choices that we need to make right now. We have a choice to lay down and be defeated or to get back up and overcome. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 16, I'm going to read out of the NIV here. It said, God speaks to the people. Now that I am commanding you today, today is not too difficult for you beyond your reach. And it goes on to say in verse 12, it is not up in heaven. And then it goes on to say in verse 13, nor is it in the sea, what he's commanding us. But it goes on to say in verse 14, no, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, so you must obey it. That means our choices that we have, they're not beyond our reach because of what God has done for us. And then it goes on to say in verse 15, see, I set before you today, so it's our choice, life and prosperity, death and destruction. In verse 16, it says, for I command you today. Again, it's a choice. It's a choice that you and I have. To love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands. That is our choice. And the decrees and the law, we have to choose. Can I just tell you today that we serve a loving God, a loving Father? This is not the end. You know, every single passage in the Old Testament, I have been poring over the Old Testament in stories where it seemed like individuals were up against a wall, where it was a dead end, but God came through. I want to tell you that now's the time to jog back your memory. What has God done for you in your life that has been miraculous? Can you remember in the college days maybe, or remember, you know, giving birth to your child and you thought something was going to happen, but it was a miracle. Everything came together. Can you remember where your back was up against the wall and God came through? How much greater has your faith developed because of what he's done for you? I'm telling you, he's not done yet. In fact, we serve such an amazing God that he gives us the power to choose. Let's look in the New Testament about choices and turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Every once in a while, I do like to look at some different translations, and I enjoy reading the Passion Bible just kind of as a novel. It encourages me. But in the Passion Translation, Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master?" Don't you love that? Grace is our unmerited favor. That means when we think we can't do it on our own, grace comes up behind us and says, hey, wait. You're letting your mind get the best of you, Kathy. You're letting your emotions get the best of you, Kathy. My grace is going to come and uphold you so that you can make the right choice. And it goes on to say, "But choose carefully, for you surrender yourself to become a servant." And it goes on to say, "Bound to the one you choose to obey." Do you know that we have a choice? We have a choice to make our master panic or make our master peace. We have a choice to be an individual that reacts to everything or responds. And right now I'm telling you, I am making the choice. I want you to make the choice to respond to what is going on. In fact, I wrote down, a reaction happens in the moment, but a response is a predetermined course of action. I have decided I'm going to live out this ride, because that's all it is. It's a ride. You don't get off the ride during a roller coaster because you will die. You stay on the ride with the peace of God. And the ride will end and everything's going to be okay. We need to recognize that. So we have a choice today. We have a choice to choose peace. We have a choice to choose trust. I mean, trusting in God. Today, I believe what God says about you and what God says about me. It's so important. But you know, during this time, I recognize that not only is there physical damage taking place, I know individuals that know somebody that has lost their life, and we grieve for the loss in individuals' lives. But you know, there's a lot of statistics and studies right now that show not only just the physical damage that has taken place, but the psychological damage. And as a pastor, I know that my heart goes out to what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your soul and your emotions. So today, I prayerfully want to bring the Word of God to you so that you can be recentered, so that you can choose. The storm is going on around me, but there's no storm in me. Can I just tell you, moms and dads, that's your choice. We have to get up in the morning and we have to say, today I choose to make this the day that the Lord has made. Today I choose to have joy in my home. Today I choose to not have strife, to not allow dissension. I know we've even joked in our house that we were going to put like a jar on the counter, and any time that there's a negative remark or dissension or division, somebody has to put a dollar in that jar. And at the end of the week, whoever has the least amount of money that they put in, they get the whole money. John and I have been coming up with creative ways to have joy, because it's a choice. But, you know, we as a nation, we've lost some things that promote health. And I'm so grateful for those on the first line, on the first line, and those in the health industry, and our doctors and our nurses. And I just ask as our church family that we continue to lift them up. I know I personally have made a decision. I'm going to pray 15 minutes a day. You know, all this free time that we have, develop your prayer life. You know, pray in English, pray in the Spirit, but specifically pray for our healthcare people and those that are on the forefronts. But as a nation, we have lost some things that do promote health. In fact, I wrote down three things. Number one, we have lost our connection. You know, as I said before, we're used to being out and about in the coffee shops, going to school. We've lost our connections. And you know, the first problem in the Bible wasn't sin. But what was it? It was actually solitude. What did God say to Adam? It is not good for man to be alone, and he brought Eve. So we need to understand that the pressure and the concern that you're feeling right now, that's normal. We're not telling you to ignore feelings, ignore emotions. But what we're saying is recognize them so that you know how to walk through them. So what have we lost? We've lost connection. We've also lost structure, right? I mean, we're going to bed later, at least in our house. And then we're sleeping in later. And the thing is when we lose structure, it starts to affect and makes everything kind of unstructured. So when we look at, as a nation, what have we lost? We've lost structure. I mean, even today, we're not together as a church family. I miss my church family. I miss our church community. I know many of you have reached out with Zoom calls and some different things. Stay connected. We want structure and we want connection. And number three, what have we lost? We've lost control. I mean, we are fighting an invisible enemy. And pick on a certain race, a certain age, a certain statistic of wealth. But across the board, we need to recognize that there is a loss of control. But I'm not here to tell you what we've lost, but I want to bring to your attention what we can do in the state of what others look at as the end of the world. I'm just letting you know this isn't the end. This isn't tribulation. This isn't the rapture. This is simply us walking through to the other side. So in those things where there is loss, there are some certain human responses that take place. I know for me personally, some individuals respond immediately with a fight. Like, you know what? I can handle this. And sometimes we can get angry. Maybe you're noticing being underneath the same roof in your household, the response might be anger because there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. We're trying to you know, have some normalcy. But I want you to know that God has a solution, and we're going to share that today. So with the loss, maybe there's a little response in your house where there's anger. I want to encourage you. Pull back. Recheck yourself. Be intentional. Moms and dads, set aside 15 minutes in the day that you guys can talk about a plan. Okay, how are we going to come against, or how are we going to plan with what's going on with this new normal? When we lose our connection, our structure, and our control, some individuals might have a flight mechanism where they just want to go somewhere and be alone. Anybody in your house like that? Like, I'm just going to go upstairs, shut the door, maybe sleep away all my woes, maybe drown myself in Netflix, you know, where they don't even ask you anymore what's next. It just plays automatically. Why? Because that flight mechanism wants to isolate. I don't even have to think about anything. Listen, the enemy wants you to get by yourself and for you to have self-talks of doom and gloom, because if you're all about yourself, you can't reach others. It's so important that you don't give in to the fight mechanism. You don't give in to the flight mechanism. And the third thing that we can do when crisis happens like this is we can freeze. It's almost like we become paralyzed. Has anybody said in your house, oh, I'm going to clean out the garage. Oh, this is the time that we're going to, you know, do all of our landscaping. But have you? Have you cleaned out the closets that you've talked about? No. Why? Because of the loss in our life, some people react by the fight. Some people react by the flight. And then others people react by a freeze. But I want to encourage you. That is all a reaction. That is not a response. And as believers, we have to respond to this. Let's look what Jesus said in the Word of God about the importance of our response in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, if you have your Bible there. I want to encourage our kids. I know, I'm not sure if you're watching together as a family today, but I encourage you to go to the FWC Kids page. I know Peter and Ashley have been posting so much fun stuff to do, some fun activities, Bible readings together. As Pastor John said, we did a Zoom call. We love you, and we hope that you're enjoying church together as your family today. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, this is Jesus talking, and he says here, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, put them into practice. When they put them into practice, it is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock." What is a rock? A rock is solid. You go down here to the jetties, the winds can come, the waves can come, but if you're standing on the rock and you're in the center of that rock, you're not going to fall. But it goes on to say in that passage, Jesus here is talking and making reference to the Old Testament. He's talking about putting the word into practice. It goes on, then it says, "The rain came down." What is our rain right now? What is our storm? Our storm is this COVID-19. Let's look at this, the coronavirus, the COVID-19. It came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Can I just tell you this morning that if you choose, if I choose, if we as a community, as a body choose the right thing, we're not going to fall. And it goes on to say, because the foundation is a rock. But then it goes on to say, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, he's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. If you're on the sand, you will sink. And then it goes on to say, the rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I just tell you, my heart aches, not just for the physical loss, but for the trial that marriages are going through, households are going through. I mean, our own son is, and I know many of you have lost their senior year. Maybe might not walk with their class. There is tragedy, but can I just tell you, there's also victory. There's also victory in tragedy. And I want to show you just real quick five principles from Proverbs. I know I listened to Dr. Henry Cloud, and he's talked about how people respond in crisis, and that if you don't have a plan, that is when we fail. So from Proverbs, I also listened to Pastor Chris Hodges, and he has noted a lot of these. It's so important that we look at what we are going to do. Have a plan as a family. Have a plan as an individual. So five principles that we can, choices that we can make during a crisis. I'm going to speed through these really quick. I'm sure maybe somebody's making breakfast or getting ready for lunch. But real quick, number one, we must communicate clearly, intentionally, and often. During a crisis, we must communicate clearly, intentionally, and often. I love the fact that Lisa Engel, many of you know her, she oversees our women's ministry here at Family Worship Center. She did a Zoom call yesterday and invited whoever wants to come in and be a part of that. You can Zoom on your phone, on a tablet, on a computer screen, up to 100 participants. I encourage you, connect, connect, connect. What about old school, putting a card in the mail? It feels good to do something kind and generous for somebody else. I know that we have an elderly family across the street. I have just intentionally said in my heart, I'm going to call every day. It doesn't matter. I don't have time. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to call. Yesterday, I made a quick Target run. Yes, I was careful. But I called all the individuals that live in my area. Hey, I'm going. Can I get anything for you? We can social distance. We can call them and say, hey, I'm going to leave it on your front porch and leave. There's something about be communicating clearly, intentionally, and often. And can I just tell you, moms and dad, this comes from you as well. Having a plan. What are your expectations in your house? What is your expectations in your marriage during this time? Just because the world's on pause doesn't mean our family's on pause. To be intentional, a principle, family time. In fact, I said we're going to look at this in Proverbs. So in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17, this is the NIV. It goes there and it says, a wicked man falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. What does that mean? It means that you have to be intentional. Things that we need to tell people, in fact, our small group leaders, great time for you to be intentional, reaching out to people in your group, checking on them. And it's important. In fact, there's a couple communication principles that I'm just going to share real quick with you. When it comes to communicating, how about be empathetic? I know that just with the stress and some of the things going on, even in our own household, I have to stop and ask myself, what does it feel like to be my husband? What does he have on his shoulders? What is he going through? Instead of me, well, I need attention too. That's our flight response. That's our fight response. I could say, hey, what are you going through? How are you feeling through this crisis? What can I do for you? So in communication, always be empathetic. Be frequent. What does that mean? That means be consistent, constantly check on people. Be simple and clear. I love watching, I think it's Everybody Loves Raymond or What About Raymond. We laugh so hard because it's like the truth of what's happening in families. But sometimes it's like we get mad at our child or a family member because they don't know what we're feeling, but we're not the ones that takes the extra step to say, hey, I'm feeling this. Can you do this? So communicate. Be honest. Talk about the real stuff. I'm telling you, what's going on is real. We're not ignoring it, but we have to be precise. Talk about the real stuff. If we are concerned about our finances, let's talk about it. Don't just shove it underneath the rug. If we are concerned about what's taking place in our household, I know there's a lot of free time. Can I just tell you, moms and dads, you wouldn't let a stranger into your child's room. So be careful what is being allowed to be streamed through their phones. Be careful what's being allowed to be streamed through their computers. I know in our household, we try to use all electronics in open spaces. It's important to be precise. Talk about what your concern is. And in communication, be hopeful. Be hopeful. Be faith-filled. It's important. So that's communication principles. In fact, the best ability is availability. If you want to make it through this crisis, make yourself available for others. Fear is the reality minus God, and faith is the reality plus God. We are going to overcome, guys. We are going to overcome. We are going to make it through this. So, number two, recreate new structures and new routines. Very important. In the midst of a crisis, we're stuck at home. We have a lot going on. Still get up, shower, change your clothes. You don't want to be in the same clothes 3 days in a row. You might want to. I don't want to. Why? Because I still want to accomplish stuff. I mean, personally, I'm saying to myself, what are three things that I'm going to accomplish today? And that's a win for me. What are three things that we as a family want to accomplish? I know my kids are probably like, ugh, because we've already cleaned out our garage. I'm telling them that we're going to be doing our landscaping, different things. But the truth is, don't lose your structure. Don't lose your routines. If you're going to be on this for another 30 days plus, it's important that we utilize our time wisely. Set up routines. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, this is out of the King James Version. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Okay. Don't let our vision go. Don't let who you are go. In fact, the NIV says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. That's hard to hear. But we're going to take lemons and make lemonade. That's an old saying, but the truth is, what are you doing with what you got? Have you thought about looking at this as a blessing? Have you thought about that you're not racing to and fro and picking up and dropping off and rushing to prepare dinner and not sitting together? How about be intentional and say, we're going to have family. We're going to have dinner as a family now. We're going to work together. And can I just encourage you, moms and dads, little eyes are watching you. Little ears are listening to you. It starts from the top down. If we are functioning in fear and we are functioning by reacting instead of responding, it trickles down to the rest of the family. It's so important. So set up a system. What works? Number three, so important, guard our mind. In this idle time, I know this old saying, an idle mind is the devil's playground. I know I like to say anything that happens after dark usually isn't good. So go to sleep when it's bedtime. Get up when it's time to wake up. We want to protect our mind. Be informed. Listen, it's important to watch the news, but I like to say check the news, but watch the Word of God. Be aware and be informed, but watch the Word of God. What is the Word of God telling us? What are we talking about here today? I'm not just preaching stuff at you, but I'm talking about coming up with systems that work in your household. Do you know why I want to function as a family that's functioning in God's grace and God's wisdom? Because I want to be the storehouse for my neighbor to the right. I want to be the peace for my neighbor across the street. This isn't a time to seclude ourselves, to shut down, but this is a time for the church as a whole to rise up. And if we're so caught up in our own crisis and what's going on in our own life, if you're out of work, I recognize that's difficult, but your job's not done. Your job is to be a light in the darkness. My job is to be a light in the darkness, so I have to have my house in order so that I can be a witness to others. Amen? So guard your heart. Guard yourself against idle time stealers. Guard yourself against fear. You know, fear sells advertising. Why is everything coming down from the news like it is? Because they want you to react in fear, but we're going to respond with the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, when it comes to guarding our mind, it says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. We can see that today. Again, that's resetting the trajectory of our thoughts, of our mind. And you know, there's nothing wrong with calling a girlfriend, you know, setting up a coffee date online or sitting down with your spouse and say, I'm having a bad day today. I am really concerned. That's when you share your fears. You pray through those fears, and you get the victory. It doesn't help to ignore. It doesn't help to push down. It doesn't help to just hope that it will go away. But we have to walk through this together, so we have to guard our mind. I like to look at it as a scale. How much are you weighing in on fear, and how much are you weighing in on the truth of God's word? And it's not really good to be balanced. It needs to be fear needs to be up, and the truth of God's word needs to be where our stance is, the weight, or vice versa, however you want to say that. But we want the truth of God's word. So we need to be careful. Number four, we need to focus on what I can control. It's so important, again, that response, not reaction. You know, we have to be careful of the what ifs. It's real simple at night to lay in your bed and say, what if this and what if that? I mean, I personally, we have my mom that's living with us. We're loving it. But there is the what ifs. What if I'm bringing something back into our home? What if, you know, this virus? But I have to shut that down. Yes, use wisdom. We have hand sanitizer. We are wiping everything down. We are using wisdom. But I can tell you that focus on what you control is so important, because you can't control what's going on outside and around you, but you can control what's going on inside you. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, this is kind of an aggressive verse, but this virus is kind of like an anthill where, you know, you have a mound of dirt, and if you kick that anthill, do you know that the ants just don't go, oh my gosh, I can't even live in this colony anymore. And they just give up. They just lay down and die. No. What do? It says that the ants go right back to working. In fact, it says here in the NIV, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler. Yet it stores in its provision in the summer and it gathers its food in the harvest. What are we saying in this time? I'm going to do what I can do. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to be a slugger. I'm not going to just take what the world delivers to me. But I'm going to do what I can do. In fact, why don't we have our worship team come up here and join me as we close. So number four, focus on what I can control. I might not be able to go to work. I might not be able to go to school. But what can I do? You know what? I can control my attitude in my house. That's for sure. I can be thankful for this season that I'm in. I can enjoy my husband and my children. I can give to others. I can give my tithe to the church. I can be kind. And what is your fill in the blank? You can do what? The ant can't control things, but he can do something. In fact, in verse 9, it says, how long will you live there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? Verse 10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. I can get sucked in. I mean, right now we're watching this series and it's kind of like my escape. I'm like, I say to actually Jules and Nate and I are like, do you want to watch the next series in this season? But there's nothing wrong with enjoying what you're doing, but don't escape all the time. Don't sleep away this season that could be profitable. I mean, how many of you have thought about writing a book? How many of you have wanted to practice music? How many of you have wanted to, and you fill in the blank, get that degree? How many of you have wanted to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Why not set aside time right now? I mean, pray in the Spirit for 10 minutes a day. Start practicing hearing His voice with this time. We can't be idle. And in verse 11, it says, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity and like an armed man. That's not who we're going to be. The fifth thing that we want to do is remember the bigger picture. And can I just leave you with this? We win. We win. We've already won. God is on our side during this pandemic. We will overcome. This is not the end. Yes, this is probably the biggest thing that's happened in the past 100 years. Is God working? Yes, He is. Will we have a story to tell? Yes, we will. Do you know that every generation has gone through their own Red Sea? Every generation, the Holocaust, the different things that people have gone through. But it's important to know that God never leaves us. God never fails us. We have to remind ourselves of the miracles that He's already done. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves, but when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. Can I just leave that with you today? Attend to what He's revealing in your life right now. Attend to what He's showing you in your family. Attend to what He's showing you as an individual. Attend to the Holy Spirit promptings. How do you know that this pause isn't an opportunity for you to come up with a great creative invention? How do you know that one door being shut isn't the open of another door? I'm encouraging you. You have things that you can do. Don't sit back idle. In fact, will we see the hand of God through this time? Yes, I believe we will. I'm going to close with this scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This is my anthem during this crisis time. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Do you have your ear to the ground? Are you hearing from heaven? Are you teaching your kids how to hear from heaven? And it says, I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Healing is coming. I believe that this is the next step to revival in the church, revival in the world.